Good morning. It's a joy to be with you today. Born into a family with an Anglican father and a Catholic mother who never went to church and only mentioned God when they were angry. That's me. But they did send me to church, hoping that it would help me to be good. And it certainly opened my eyes, and I remember as a child of 7 years old, pondering the question of where did God come from and who made God? As someone said, we all have this God-shaped vacuum or hole in our lives that only He can fill. So I came to faith early and quite innocent, but I've remained a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ all of my life. I've been a missionary, a church pastor, a chaplain, and given my childhood faith roots, it's only understandable now that I would be working with the ministry of Chorus Connect. As you saw in the video, our organization has just celebrated 80 years of ministry with children, with schools, and recently with the community at large. Commenced in 1945 by a coalition of schools, the Anglican Church being a big part of this, it was called the Christian Council for Education in State Schools. This ministry was primarily for the teaching of Christian religious education and then chaplaincy for a number of years. It then was called Access Ministries for a time, and in the introduction to work in community spaces, it was renamed Chorus Connect. The name Chorus is from the Greek word that has a connotation of a sacred space and a connection with the community. This time has been a time of blessing, of making a difference in lives, and of challenges to survive in an ever increasingly growing secular society. We continue and we thank you for the many years of support from St. Hilary's. I actually have brochures and information at the church down the back for you to have a look at and take and read later. My text from today is from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Says, cast your bread upon the waters, and you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight. For you do not know what evil will be upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in a place where the tree falls, there shall it lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. May God bless the reading of His word today. My message is titled, Our Mission in the Hands of Almighty God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you today for those that are assembled here. We thank you for this congregation of people that love you and proclaim your faithfulness and your truth. Lord, we ask that you would bless the word. We pray that it would be like light to our souls. Lord, that it would encourage us, teach us, inspire us, Lord, we pray. Bless it to us, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, my message is titled, Our Mission in the Hands of Almighty God. Ecclesiastes is the book from the great King Solomon, some say the wisest man in the world, a son of King David. He started in humility and dependence on God. We know that he lived a life of wealth and privilege as God blessed him, but unfortunately, he ended up far from God with his 700 wives and 300 concubines, leading him to the worship of other gods. But we have some of his wisdom recorded here in the Word of God. What can God teach us today through the words of King Solomon, especially from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verses 1 to 6 that I've read there for you? First point of my message today is verses 1 to 3, the mystery of mission. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Verse 2, give a serving to 7, also to 8, for you do not know what evil will be upon the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there shall it lie. What does this verse mean, using the fact of the bread and the water together? Some Bible scholars say that it refers to a shipping venture that required great patience for the return of an investment. Others that it is about giving your material things to the needy in a way that might seem wasteful, as wasteful as throwing bread upon the waters. It is about generosity, and we all need to give. But in the context of what we read further, I'd like to suggest that it is about sowing and reaping. It is about being willing to give that which we've received, whether in a physical way, but also in a spiritual way, to those who have not heard the way of truth. At Chorus Connect, we've had many years of casting our bread upon the waters. Our volunteers sharing their knowledge of the Saviour with children and religious education. Our chaplains week by week now go into schools and form relationships with children, parents and staff, ministering holistically to them and helping them through the struggles that they have. Our community connectors are involved in shopping centres or the airport, reaching out to members of the public, sharing God's love by what they do and say, whether that is practically or sitting at a table in a food court when some of the seniors have had a bad day or even lost a spouse. Day by day, these workers cast their bread upon the waters. How about you and I, do we? Each of us has gifts and a calling from God, no matter who we are and no matter what age we are, no matter what stage of life we're in. God has a plan for us and he wants us to reach out to others that they may see our light, his light, and be drawn to that. Whatever we do, whatever we're involved in, verse 1 says that there is going to be a harvest. There is going to be fruitfulness from this, but it is not immediate. Sometimes it takes time. Last week, an elderly missionary I knew finished her earthly course and went to be with her Maker. She was 98. At a funeral in New Zealand, someone gave a tribute from a man in Texas, USA. They had not been in connection for decades, but he had a very old Bible that he received way back in the 1970s when this woman was a teacher and she had a children's Bible club in her home. And that's where he came to faith. He said he would not be a man of faith today if it wasn't for this woman. We see here the principle of casting your bread upon the waters, finding it after many days. Bread upon water, finding the results of your labours. Sometimes it's hard to understand. Verse 5 actually records, we do not know the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child. So we do not know the works of God who makes everything. It's God's mysterious work. This passage emphasizes that God's work is often beyond human understanding, as we see examples of the wind's path and the formation of a baby in the womb. One thing I do know in my experience, is that God wastes nothing. God uses everything, and God is faithful. God uses us, and God will have His way in the lives of others. We serve Him, we pray, we show mercy, we proclaim Him. Cast your bread upon the waters, and you will find it after many days. Sometimes God works in the mysteries that are Himself and His ways. The second point is the challenge of missions. Verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow, he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how bones grow in the womb of her that is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Using the farming analogy here, Solomon warns us that we cannot rely on what we see in the natural. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, we are encouraged to preach the word in season and out of season. One commentator wrote, if we're always waiting for favorable conditions, we shall resemble the farmer who is ever looking out for perfect weather and lets the whole autumn pass without one handful of grain reaching the furrows. So we must sow the seed, acting in faith. We must not wait for perfect conditions to act. The farmer who waits for ideal weather will never sow, and the merchant who waits for perfect circumstances will never sail his ship. Let's trust God to bless our actions, even when it seems that there are obstacles and challenges. CRE, Christian Religious Education, was challenged in the courts a few years ago. And we had many thousands of children that were in public schools, state schools, and were learning about the Christian faith. But the Department of Education has managed to make it so difficult that it can hardly remain in schools. There always had to be a teacher, but now they have made it so that any classes for what is now called special religious instruction has to be outside of class times. Schools withdrew permission to have the program. Children were hasty to come to the program in their lunch times. And it has decimated the number of programs and children's, unfortunately, here in our state of Victoria that are able to have this special education. But you know, even though there has been such a decimation, there are a small group of volunteer teachers and children that continue on with this. They refuse to observe the wind. How about us? And they refuse to regard the clouds of opposition. What do we do for God? What happens when the going gets tough? I remember a humorous example of my teen years at high school. I was in a state school. I was zealous for witnessing for Christ, but maybe I wasn't that wise. At that stage, I was even smaller and shorter than I am now. And I remember sharing my faith a few times with a huge kid. You can picture David and Goliath. That's what it was like. One day he got so annoyed with me talking about my faith that he actually picked me up, lifted me up, and hung me my jumper on one of the coat pegs in the corridor. He yelled at me with a very red face. I thought he was going to hit me, physically threatened me, and told me to stop talking about God or else. I was trapped there until someone managed to get me down. But what did I do? I just kept on sharing my faith anyway. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That is the challenge of mission. Don't worry about what we see. Don't worry about what is happening. But whatever God calls us to do, in whatever sphere it is, we remain obedient to Him. The third point that I have here is the outworking of mission. Verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. I don't know about you, and I used to be a night person, and then I became a morning person. But the older I've got, I just become a day person. But usually in the morning, we're full of energy, and we can serve Him in mission while we can. Young people, young adults, they have enthusiasm, they have vitality, they have get up and go. The Christian statesman C.T. Studd said once, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Life passes by so quickly. I look back on my life thus far, just turned 67 last month, and thank God for the privilege of serving Him. And I believe we need not to shortchange ourselves. Some people say, well, I'll be involved in mission when I finish my studies. I'll be involved in mission when my career takes off. I'll be involved when my children are older. I'm not talking about mission in evangelism, but I'm talking about wherever God places us to do what He wants us to do to make Him known. It's now time to sow seeds, to cast our bread on the waters. Point number 3, that's the outworking of mission. In verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. Evening speaks of twilight, speaks of the twilight of life. Do not withhold your hand. There's still so much that we can do in mission. I mentioned that missionary who recently passed away. I know most of us will not be doing missionary work. But she came out of retirement, and from the age of 70 to 80, every year for 4 or 5 months, she would travel up and down the land of Malaysia, teaching in churches all around that area that was there. She was sowing seeds. She didn't stop because she was retired. And up until her death, she was always at church, always in the prayer meetings, always encouraging people. God wants us to be involved in mission our whole lives. Mission is different things to different people. As we are all part of the body of Christ, we're not all mouths, we're not all ears, but we all need to be involved in mission. He calls us to cast our bread upon the waters. He calls us to sow in the morning and in the evening. He doesn't promise that we will see results immediately, but He does promise that He will water the seeds we plant and He will bring the increase. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, the Word of God declares, now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. He will increase the harvest of your righteousness. So do not say, I have nothing. Do not say, what can I do? I can't do anything. Because the seed that we have, it is not ours. It is the seed that is given to us by God. It is given to give away. It is given to affect change in lives. You may not see it today. It may take time, but the seed of God reaps eternal results. A man called George Mueller in the 1800s, he was a Christian evangelist. He started an orphanage. In fact, he started more than one orphanage in the UK. It was a time where there were many orphans, there were many poor children, many starving children. He was a man of faith, and he saw many miracles during the time when he was alive and ministering and being light and life in his community. There was one occasion, there were a number of children, I can't remember whether there was 50 or 100, but the orphanage had run out of food. And someone came to him and said, there'll be no breakfast today. There's no food left. And George said, gather all the children together, get them in front of their tables, and let's pray and trust God. So he bowed his head and he began to pray and thank God for the food that they were about to receive. Some of the children looked around. There was nothing on the table for them. But at that very time, there was a knock at the door, and somebody had felt in their hearts that they were to donate food, and they came in with plate after plate after plate, pot after pot after pot, and that food was for the children. They did not go hungry. But I want to talk about George Mueller, since we're talking about casting our bread on the water, and after many days, you will find it. George Mueller prayed for one of his friends that was not a believer and often witnessed to him and sowed the seeds of the gospel. Up to the time of George's death, he did not see any change in his life at all. But he prayed and he kept talking to him about his faith. At the funeral was recorded that that man then changed his life around and surrendered his life to Christ, declared his faith as a believer. See, God's time is not our time. We need to keep casting bread upon the water. We need to keep sowing seeds of God's words, because it will not return to us, or it will return to us after many days. So today, when we look at our mission in light of an almighty God, we know that we are to keep casting our bread upon the water. It will return to us after many days. May you know this in your own life and in the life of your church. May God bless you all and be with you all and keep you on his mission that he has for you individually and as a church. Thank you and God bless.